are tuned in once again to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your presenter, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on Tuesday, October the 8th, 2013. Going to start the news this week with the Harper's Weekly Review, dated also October 8th, 2013. On Tuesday, American state governments opened online health care marketplaces for uninsured citizens in accordance with the U.S. Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Nearly 5 million people visited healthcare.gov in its first 24 hours, causing most of the 36 exchanges being administered by the federal government to crash. On the same day, a U.S. government shutdown went into effect after the Senate rejected a spending bill passed by House Republicans that would have delayed by a year the Affordable Care Act's mandate that citizens obtain health coverage. An estimated 800,000 federal workers were furloughed and 1.3 million others were asked to work without compensation. The National Zoo's giant panda cam was shut down. The Ku Klux Klan was forced to cancel a rally at Gettysburg. A National Weather Service employee issued a forecast containing the acrostic, "Please pay us." And Curiosity went into protective mode on Mars. It's very hard from a distance to figure out who has lost their minds, said Senator Claire McCaskill, Democrat, Missouri. Lemmings with suicide vests, said Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican, California, of his party colleagues. Congressman Randy Neugebauer, Republican, Texas, who said he would help shut down the government for as long as it takes to halt the funding of the Affordable Care Act, berated a newly unpaid National Park Service ranger who had been forced to deny U.S. military veterans access to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And the New York Times traced the Republicans' defunding strategy to a blueprint drafted by conservative groups shortly after President Barack Obama began his second term. Obamacare is a train wreck, read a social media talking point provided to Republican lawmakers. Hashmark train wreck, tweeted House Majority Leader John Boehner thrice. The Pentagon was revealed to have awarded 94 contracts worth $5 billion on the eve of the shutdown, purchasing such goods as COTS, Finnish hand grenades, and robot submarines. Military thriller author Tom Clancy died at 66, and General Vo Nguyen Diop, who led the North Vietnamese resistance against France and the United States, died at 102. Any forces that wish to impose their will on other nations, Vo once told reporters, will certainly face failure. Well put. In the Somali town of Barawe, Navy SEALs staged an unsuccessful raid to capture an Al-Shabaab coordinator. And in Tripoli, Delta Force commandos captured a militant under indictment for participating in the 1998 bombings of two U.S. embassies in East Africa. At least 211 people died when a boat containing Eritrean, Ghanaian, and Somali migrants capsized off the Italian island of Lampedusa. The Mediterranean cannot remain a huge cemetery under the open skies, said French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius. At least 53 people were killed during protests against Egypt's ruling military junta. International inspectors began destroying Syria's chemical weapons, and the country's deputy prime minister told the United Nations that his government's enemies supported sexual jihad. The Palestinian Authority's Supreme Fatwa Council consented to online dating. The Olympic flame died in Russia, and a woman was killed, and a man lost his legs after they were run over while having sex on railroad tracks in Zaporozhye, Ukraine. We wanted, said the man, to experience an extreme sensation. I guess he did. Canada opened its medical marijuana market to large-scale producers, and the FBI shut down the online drug marketplace Silk Road, arrested its alleged operator, Dread Pirate Roberts, and seized 26,000 of his bitcoins. A Brazilian smuggler was crushed by a half ton of marijuana. A Swedish man was crushed by a half ton of bacon. And a Spanish man was crushed by 5.5 tons of grapes. Whew. Connor P. Fudge was charged for a burglary in Iowa City's Cold Stone Creamery. In the United Kingdom, where an appellate court ended Cadbury's monopoly on the color purple, Lord Sugar was investigated for racism. Consumer genomics company 23andMe received a patent for a calculator that could allow people to select the genetic traits of their future children. Canadian researchers developed a fecal transplant pill that cures C. difficile infections, and three American researchers were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for discovering that the cargo transport systems of living cells are similar in organisms as diverse as man and yeast. Norwegian politicians agreed to legalize Segways, and a Norwegian health charity installed birdhouses stuffed with condoms in Oslo's Ekeberg Forest. The hole is plugged, said a spokesman, so that no birds can come inside. The Gambia withdrew from the Commonwealth, and two tourists and a local man were burned to death by a mob on the Isle of Nosy Bee in Madagascar. We've got nothing against foreigners. You can come visit, said a Malagasy man from Hellville. This article written by Jeremy Keane. And now, next up on the news, here's a little item from Yahoo News. Quotes from former President Carter. Middle class today resembles the past's poor. Carter says today's middle class looks like the poor from his presidency due to income gap. This is from the AP Wire. Lisa Leff, Associated Press, 5 hours ago, Oakland, California, AP. Former President Jimmy Carter said Monday that the income gap in the United States has increased to the point where members of the middle class resemble the Americans who lived in poverty when he occupied the White House. Carter offered his assessment of the nation's economic challenges Monday at a Habitat for Humanity construction site in Oakland, the first of 5 cities he and wife Rosalind plan to visit this week to commemorate their 3-decade alliance with the international nonprofit that promotes and builds affordable housing. The recent economic downturn revealed that families living in even comparatively well-off but expensive regions like the San Francisco Bay Area are economically insecure, he said. Even in one of the wealthiest parts of the world, there is a great deal of foreclosures, and now a great deal of people who are fortunate to own their own houses owe more on them than the houses are worth in the present market, and that's all changed in the last 8 years, Carter said during an exclusive interview with the Associated Press. Taking a break from framing windows at a new 12-unit townhouse development in a section of East Oakland where Habitat already has built or repaired 115 homes. The 89-year-old former Democratic president said the federal government is investing less in affordable housing at a time of greater need. The disparity between rich people and poor people in America has increased dramatically since when we started, he said. The middle class has become more like poor people than they were 30 years ago, so I don't think it's getting any better. Years of tax breaks for the wealthy, a minimum wage untethered from the inflation rate, and electoral districts drawn to maximize political polarization have reduced the quality of life for all but a small fraction of Americans and imperiled the nation's standing as a real superpower, former President Carter said. Equity of taxation and treating the middle class with a great deal of attention, providing funding for people in true need, like for affordable housing. Those are the sort of things that would pay rich dividends for Americans no matter what kind of income they have, said Carter, looking relaxed in a baseball cap, blue jeans, and white sneakers. The richest people in America would be better off if everybody lived in a decent home and had a chance to pay for it, and if everyone had enough income, even if they had a daily job, to be good buyers for the products that are produced. Habitat for Humanity was founded in Georgia, the home state of the Carters. They first joined a Habitat for Humanity work site in 1984 in New York and have spent a week every year working on construction sites in the U.S. and abroad. On Tuesday, the former president and first lady are scheduled to help renovate homes in a section of Silicon Valley that has remained immune to the wealth generated by the high-tech industry. After that, they intend to travel to Denver, New York, and Union Beach, New Jersey, where they will help rebuild homes wiped out by Hurricane Sandy. Well, gee, I guess that's because the government's not helping that much, huh? Well, that's enough of the news for me this week, people. Please be good to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.